哎，阿忠，我讲表妹。
So we talk about practicing meditation.
嗯，他妈阿土不的路里来洗的，啥他妈里来洗的，说吃干么？一级的表妹。
So they are both beginning practitioners here, people who haven't practiced with Seattle before, and people who have practiced a lot with Seattle before, and middling. So he'll just give us the basic, the things we need to remember, the most important things we need to remember. So first of all, we need to remember that meditation is the work of the mind. And there are two elements in meditation. There is the mind that is trying to meditate, and then the objects that we meditate on. But the work of meditation is done by the mind, not by the objects that we are observing. The nature of meditation is that what we're trying to do is cultivate the good qualities of mind, the wholesome qualities of mind. We're trying to make them grow. So we all have six sense objects or six sense doors. So these six sense objects are always available. They never stop or disappear. But what we're trying to do is, in contact with these six sense objects, we want to grow our mindfulness, our steadiness of mind, our wisdom, and so on. Whenever we are mindful, five faculties of mind work together. These five qualities are called sati, virya, samadhi, sadda, and panya, which are awareness, right effort, steadiness of mind, faith or confidence, and wisdom. So these five faculties work simultaneously every moment that you are aware. And we're trying to cultivate these qualities, so we need to understand a little bit about the mind and how it works so that we can effectively practice to grow these qualities. So the first thing we need to watch out for when we meditate is putting in too much effort or focusing too hard. We don't want to do that. If we have greed or aversion or delusion about the practice, then we'll find ourselves using too much effort while practicing. If our desire for something, or we're not satisfied with what's happening, or we don't know what to do, you'll find that you will start using too much effort in the practice. So we need to notice our own intensity or level of effort and make sure that we do not over effort. So in order to know how to make right effort, then we need to understand that right effort is not about how much energy you put into the moment. Right effort is the effort to continue or maintain mindfulness moment after moment for an extended period of time. That's right effort. And trying to be mindful, persistently mindful.
So,
But if we put too much energy into every moment, then we'll find that we get tired or it's hard, more difficult to be mindful continuously for an extended period of time. And the quality of sati, which is one of the five faculties, which we also translate as mindfulness, that quality is a quality of not forgetting. Not forgetting in the present moment to be with what is wholesome.
The right object.
The right object. So he wants to do a little demonstration with all of you, but there are a lot of you who have gone through this before, so please don't say anything. So he wants some answers from those of you who have not heard this. So when you're sitting, do you know you're sitting? Yes, now you know you're sitting? Do you know that you're seeing? Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
So you know you're seeing, yes? When did you begin to notice that you are seeing? Have you been aware of seeing the whole day today since you woke up? So not just the seeing, but that you notice that seeing is happening.
When you asked.
So that's how reminders help. When we remind ourselves, then we become aware in the present moment of what's happening. Every morning we wake up and open our eyes and we see. But we forget that we are seeing. Because when we see things, our mind starts thinking about the things that we see. We forget the very act of seeing. So we don't recognize seeing as an object. It's like Mother Goose's spectacles. She forgot she had them on. So now, in noticing that you are seeing, how much energy did it take? So that's what Tsiaro means by being aware. When you know what's happening at your senses, you are being aware. In the English language, Tsiaro says, we can only say that we are aware or we are being aware. It doesn't say that we can do awareness. So if we're just being aware, Tsiaro says, then we won't be tired even if we practice all day long, even if we try to be mindful all day long. And we need to also know that the nature of meditation is, or the nature of the Dhamma is that we is such that we have to practice all the time. And we need to practice all the time because the mind is always becoming and dying. It's always arising and passing away. And it leaves a legacy for the next mind. It leaves its potential to the next mind. And so we need to make sure the right potential is being passed on moment to moment.
ကောင်းတဲ့စိတ်ပဲဖြစ်ဖြစ်မကောင်းတဲ့စိတ်ပဲဖြစ်ဖြစ်ဖြစ်ခွင့်များများပေးလို့ရှိရင်တတ္တိယအားကောင်းကောင်းလား
whatever qualities that we allow to dwell in the mind whether wholesome or unwholesome whichever dwells more in the mind is the one that gets carried on passed on with more strength or
အဲကောင်းတဲ့စိတ်တွေကိုဖြစ်ခွင့်များများပေးတော့ပါရမီဖြည့်တယ်လို့ခေါ်
So when we allow lots of wholesome qualities to be growing in the mind, to be present in the mind, that is called fulfilling your perfections. So that's why we need to practice the Dharma all the time. We can't do it part-time. This is very important.
ပါရမတ်ချက်အရေးကြီးတာအစိုက်တာကိုလျှော့လိုက်ပ
ါ So remember again Sierra's reminding us that we should not put in too much effort in each moment just be aware
ဘာကြောင့်လဲဆိုရင်ဒီအားထဲ့တာများနေအာယုံဘက်ကိုလည်းပူရောက်တယ်စိတ်ကိုတွေ့ရခက်တယ်နောက်ပြီးတော့သူက busy ဖြစ်နေသူကထဲ့နေအားထဲ့နေတဲ့ busy ဖြစ်နေတော့ investigate လုပ်လို့မရဉာဏ်ထည့်လို့မရတော့
The reason that he says not to put in too much energy into the present moment is because if we do that, we tend to focus on the object. And when we are too focused on the object, we do not notice what's happening in the mind. And then, because we're busy focusing, the mind is busy, so it cannot be flexible and expansive and understand and investigate what's happening if there is a necessity to do that.
The dine to nyambabu yeji de. ဝိပဿနာအထုတ်မှာဉာဏ်အရေးကြီးဆုံးမှာဉာဏ်မပါလို့မဖြစ်ဘူ
း So Sierra always says that when we are aware we need wisdom or intelligence to work together with the awareness
So အဲ့ဒီမှာအားထည့်တာများနေဝိစံအလုပ်လုပ်လို့မရတော့
So if
စမပြေတော့
are using too much energy it hinders the use of our intelligence or our wisdom
Now the chair right view
And the second thingAfter right effort is right view.
အခုပြောနေတာအားလုံးက information ပေးတာ right information ပေးတယ်ဒါလေးကြားဘူးနားဝရှိပြီဆိုမှစဉ်းစားတတ်မယ်လုပ်တတ်မယ
် So everything Sierra's telling us now is just information. When we have information we can use it so that we can practice effectively. So, on right view, for most of us, for most of us,Our whole lives, we have thought of this mind and body process that's going on as myself, as a person, as me.
Do you have a wrong view?
But when we consider this set of mental and bodily processes as myself, when we identify with it,It easily gives rise to unwholesome states of mind. And that is why this is called a wrong view. So when we try to understand the mind, when we're trying to observe the mind, and if we have this wrong view of identification, then we find it very difficult to do that.
အဲ့တော့မကောင်းတဲ့စိတ်တွေဖြစ်များတာတွေ့ငါစိတ်လိုယူလိုက်တာနဲ့သူက depression ဖြစ်မှာ
When we watch our minds we'll see lots of bad news we'll see lots of unwholesome stuff a lot of kilesas defilements and if we identify with these things that we see going through the mind if we think this is my mind then we start getting upset we can get depressed
ကောင်းတဲ့စိတ်တွေမြင်ရင်လည်းသူကမာနနေတက်လာ
On the other hand, if we see wholesome qualities arising in the mind, we see the good stuff that comes up in the mind, the danger is that pride can arise. So then, right understanding or wisdom about the nature of the mind cannot arise.
Wrong view at Sanjin Pega, but Lucinda, nature, she doesn't say that. Oh, good, that one in a messenger.
So the opposite of wrong view is to see that this set of processes is just a natural process. To see this as nature and to remember that we want to understand the nature of this mind and body. In nature there is no good or bad. It's just how things are. And we want to understand the way these different elements work and how they work. So if we are able to, at least intellectually, bring in right view, if we can think about it, massage it in our minds, and if we can accept that that view and apply it to our observation of what's happening, we'll find that it's much easier. We're less resistant to watching what's in the mind, or less attached. So when we practice Vipassana meditation, this right view is like a basis for the practice of Vipassana meditation. It makes it much easier. When we have right view, we find our mind is naturally more settled, and a settled mind is samadhi, has samadhi, which is different from samadhi that we might understand from previous practice, where we think that if we focus on an object for an extended period of time, the mind will calm down, and that is samadhi. So now the suggestion is that we don't need to do that, that if we understand things in the right, in the proper way, if we have right view, the mind instantly settles. There is samadhi.
Right view net, the disasada net dwelling, samadhi pilam.
So if we combine right view with continuity of awareness, we'll have continuous samadhi.
Right, sin adui kwa mambo yusa mambo toro yiji ba.
So it's really important to have right view, to have the right idea about. Whatever work we do, Shadow says, there's always principles around that govern the work we do, whether it's working with machinery or computers or whatever. And it's the same with meditation. There are principles that, you know, that explain how different aspects of the meditation is, and if we understand these different aspects, it just makes it much easier
to practice.
So one aspect of right view is to see what is happening as it is. So for example, he says, if you find that the mind is very agitated, if you recognize that the mind is agitated, you should also know that this is right view. So in that moment, there is mindfulness, there's right view, because you're seeing what is happening as it is. So the practice is just about knowing what is happening as it is. We're not trying to make the experience something that we think it should be, and we're not trying to make the experience not be what it is in the present moment. If you have greed and you recognize greed, wonderful. Recognize this is greed. Seattle says we are not here to try and get rid of greed in the present moment. If we understand these little ideas about practicing Seattle says, then we find that it's just much more easeful and more effective when we practice.
So
most of the time we find practice difficult only when we are not accepting of what is happening in the present moment, because we think that it should be something else, or we don't want what is happening right now. That's the only reason why we might ever find practice difficult.
Yeah.
So once the mind has judgments about whether something is good or bad, it prefers something, it thinks something is more helpful for meditation. Once it has ideas like this, they interfere with your being just present in the moment. But the practice of meditation, of vipassana, is the practice of using the present moment and whatever comes up in the present moment to develop awareness, steadiness of mind, and wisdom. So whatever we see, hear, touch, taste, smell, or think, if we're going to have reactions to them every moment instead of just knowing what they are, Tiara says, then we find it difficult to practice or to develop more wisdom around what's happening. So when we are no longer pushing or pulling these objects, when we are no longer attaching to them or wanting them or resisting them or trying to make them go away, Tiara says, then we will be able to settle and see what is happening in the present moment as it is. And there are three things when we meditate, especially in retreat, that we struggle with the most, that we have the most pulling and pushing for. And this is sound, thinking mind, and pain or discomfort. But if we can have the right idea or the right attitude towards these three experiences, then instead of being disturbed by them, we will find that we develop awareness, steadiness of mind, and wisdom. But he's just highlighting these three because these are common problems. But anything that you find in your experience, you're pulling or pushing, you're resisting or grasping, you need to Siara says the difference between somebody who's practicing meditation and somebody who's not practicing meditation is simply that attitude of mind that we bring to our experience. Someone who's not practicing, they contact with the six sense doors and they might develop greed, aversion, and delusion. But the goal of the practitioner is that whatever they contact, they develop awareness, steadiness of mind, and wisdom instead of greed, aversion, and delusion. And we are able to do that when we have the right information and we can use it in the present moment effectively. So what do you think of the thinking mind? Do you think it's good to have thinking mind or not good to have thinking mind?
Same.
At least it's the same.
You have to be aware of it.
You have to be aware
yeah.
of it.
Mm-hmm. So, do you have to be
So if we have the right view of the thinking mind and we recognize that all we need to do is be aware that there is thinking mind in the moment, then you'll see that this is your object and you're aware and that's it.
Definition, definition be that
the very definition of mind is that the mind is that which thinks and the mind is that which knows. So if you are knowing the mind, you will know that you will see that the mind is thinking and the mind is knowing things. And you can't tell the mind to stop knowing or to stop thinking. So if we understand that thinking, what is thinking is the mind, then whenever we see thinking mind, we can recognize that this is the mind that we're knowing. So what's really important, Siyaro says, is to be able to recognize that thinking is mind, that this is the mind. But to be objective about it and know that this is the mind, Siyaro says, we need to allow ourselves to acknowledge it, to practice recognizing it as much as possible whenever we see it come up in the mind. If there are few thoughts in the mind, just recognize there are few thoughts. If there are a lot of thoughts in the mind, just recognize there are a lot of thoughts. The problem is not the thoughts. The problem is if we dislike the thoughts. Some of us may have ideas that thinking is a disturbance to practice, or that as you practice and the practice gets better, the mind will think less and less. And if you have these ideas, then when there is thinking in the mind, then you will judge the practice. So there will be this. But it's very important that we have no resistance to thinking mind. That we are aware of it. That we recognize it's not something to like nor dislike. It is just something to know. And we don't need to delve too much into the content of the thoughts. All we need to do is recognize that the mind is thinking now.
Now, tui sega wandering mind lu le pyo pyo ni da. Sega a pyin thwat twa da mho. Sega be ra ma be ma away twa lu ma twa nai. Sega da ba wa di ma phit de di ma pyet de. A lo sega thwat twa da mho bu. Memory de phit la de, a tui sega de phit la de lu yu a.
Another word that we use to describe thinking to ourselves is wandering mind. But Siyaro says, the mind doesn't wander away because it doesn't have a place, so it can't go anywhere. The mind arises and just passes away. So the mind doesn't wander away, Siyaro says. The only time you would say that you have wandering mind is if you were completely lost in thought. Then you were not aware at all. But if you know that the mind is thinking right now, you can say that memories are arising now, you're thinking about something, and the thoughts might be about the past or the future, but the thoughts are happening now. So the thinking is happening in the present. If you know what is happening now, that is being aware. You're being in the present
moment.
And it's the same with sound. When we hear, we're just hearing. It doesn't matter whether it's something loud or soft, or you have a judgment about whether that sound should be made or not. It's just that you're hearing in the present moment. There is hearing. Hearing is not an external object. Sound is not an external object. What we hear is the sound that hits our eardrum. So hearing and sound happen together. Pain and discomfort, another natural condition. It's not always around, but if there are conditions for it to arise, then there will be discomfort or pain.
Now, ခုနပြောအာယုံရဲ့ definition ပြောမှာအာယုံဆိုတော့အတိခန္ဓာကိုပြောတာဒီနာလာလည်းအတိခန္ဓာပဲမနာလာလည်းအတိခန္ဓာပဲအာယုံဖြစ်အတူတူပဲ
In observing pain, it's helpful to remember that pain is an object. And how do you define an object? An object is whatever we are aware of. If it's being known, it's an object. So when we know pain, pain is the object. That's something helpful to know. But if the pain goes away, then what's left behind is also the object. It's what you know now.
So the loss of a chica, a yeji the chair, Tabe. Loss of yam. I told it, Bonam Bioma.
Okay, so that's very basic stuff that we should remember when we're trying to practice.
The detailing you a jack up by less for you. The detailing tiny ma, the dear ballo loaded so you. This one, my pity, the wow information sooner.နောက်တစ်ခုက
တ
ူတူပွားများနေတာ
when we are aware two objectives are fulfilled in every moment that we are aware we get more information about this mind and body process and we are cultivating awareness grows when there is awareness
ဘာကြောင့်တတိထားလဲဆိုရင်သိချင
် and
နားလည်ချင်လို့
The objective of awareness is to be aware. Is to understand.
ပျောက်စေခြင်းလို့မဟုတ်ဖြစ်စေခြင်းလို့လည်းမဟုတ်ပျောက်စေခြင်းလို့လည်းမဟုတ်သိစေခြင်းလားသိချင်တာနားလည်ချင်တာ
The objective of awareness is to understand what we are observing. Not to try to have experiences that we think are preferable or to get rid of experiences that we think are unfavorable.
Now, တည်ချင်နေရင်တွေ့တယ်မျောလို့မျော
And when we are aware, Seattle says, we will not be lost in thought. And of course, if we're lost in thought, we are not aware.
So, Tainaika, Chitain, Beabe Pipi, Taloya, Beayombe Pipi, Tuduwe, Beayuma Pumagong.
So, when you are in sitting meditation, wherever you may be sitting, Seattle says, Bapyole.
ဘယ်အယုံမှာပုံမကောင်းဘူးအတူတူပဲကြိုက်တဲ့အယုံကိုနဲ့ကြိုက်တဲ့အယုံယူလို့ရတယ
် Remember that no object is better than another you can choose to be aware of anything that comes to your attention
မျက်လုံးဖွင့်လည်းရတယ်စီးရင် object ယူလို့လည်းရတယ
် If you want to sit with your eyes open that's fine too and if you want to notice seeing as an object that's okay as well
တရားထိုင်တဲ့အချိန်မှာမျက်လုံးဖွင့်တာပိတ်တာအရေးမကြီးဘူး
When we meditate, whether it's sitting or any other posture, Seattle says, it doesn't matter whether our eyes are open or closed because what's important is that the mind is being aware. It's how we use the mind. So we need to have awareness and samadhi, steadiness of mind, whether we have our eyes open or closed in both situations.
အမြင်လုံးဖွင့်လို့တမာရီမရှိတော့ဘူးဆိုရင်ဒီလူကသူအာယုံတစ်ခုလောက်ဆူးဆိုင်ထားတဲ့တမာရီဖြစ်နေ
If we open our eyes and we find that we have less samadhi less steadiness of mind than when we have our eyes closed then it can be an indication that we were possibly focusing too much when we had our eyes closed
အဲ့တော့မြင်တာနဲ့ကြည့်တာလဲကျွမ်းကျင်တင့်နေဒီယောဂီတွေအားထုတ်တင့်နေ
So seeing and looking are two activities of the mind that we do through the eye door that we need to become skillful at being aware of throughout the day. Because then we can really transport the practice into our lives where we see and look a lot.
If you don't have to look at the mind, you can't see the mind. You can't see the mind.အမြင်နာနဲ့ကြည်တာပေါ်မှာဖြစ်တဲ့ကိလေသာကိုမထိနိုင်ဘူးကိုယ့်ရဲ့တည်ငြိမ်အေးချမ်းမှုထိန်းထားဖို့တော်တော်ခက်လိမ့်မယ်
ဆရာတို့ says if we are not skillful at knowing, seeing, and looking, then every time we see and look, we have little reactions of liking and disliking what we see and what we look at. And then it's difficult to maintain the steadiness of our mind.
Yogi told me, say she, don't say she, I told you. Meanwhile, I'm a told that was you.
Yara says, if we've been practicing for 25 or 30 years and we still don't know how to be aware of seeing or looking, then we need to take a look at that.
Yogi,
So then you can see that your skills in meditation are not complete, right? We need to be skillful in every area of knowing our body and mind. No matter where we are, what our circumstances, which sense door we are most aware of, Sierra says, we need to be able to be aware of it. We can know sound and hearing.
Rising, falling, anapana,
movements of the body. Sensations on the body, like rising, falling, or the breath. We can know all the sensations all over the body, or know the body as a whole, like as a general feeling of the body. Some of us find it easier to tune into the mind, and we can sort of know that this is mine, and we're watching the mind. If you can do that and you find that comfortable, you can do that. But if you don't find that easy, you find you're struggling with it, then do what is easy. The easiest is usually to know the body, because the body is feels solid and it's easily placed. When we begin meditation, it's natural to take one object in the beginning to start being aware of. Sierra says we just need to be aware that as we continue to be aware, we don't need to be attached to that one object. If the mind begins to become more expansive and we know other experiences, we can allow ourselves to acknowledge and recognize those. When we know more objects, it's an indication that the awareness is settling into the body and the mind. So when that happens, you just feel more in touch with what's happening in the body and the mind. When we're truly settled into the present moment, we find that we're very alive and aware, alive to and aware of what's happening in the body and mind. And if while you're doing your formal sitting, walking and all, you notice the mind, some thought come up in the mind, just acknowledge it. There's thinking. What we need to remember to notice is that the awareness is still present. So everything you're aware of, the awareness is continuous. So you might be aware of thinking, then aware of the next thing, aware of thinking, aware of the next thing, but it's always awareness that's happening. Sometimes when the mind begins to be aware of many different things at the same time, we can feel like it's becoming chaotic, but it's not, Sierra says. If we understand that, it just means that the mind is actually becoming more settled and more aware. We won't have so much of a problem. shows that the awareness is working. It's working well.
Oh. Tui bhi lo adam no pain. Pain shu lai kha jai. Yin song pain paw ma tabaw tha ma me. Yai lo ma chain nat da ma chai da shin pain wo ma shu ne ho. Ai ma chai de khan sa mu yin shu. Sai ko pye me, sai ko tabaw tha pye me, do la ko pyan shu me.
When we have pain or discomfort in the body, Seattle says what we want to first check is our reactions. We want to remind ourselves that what's happening in the body is natural, it's a natural process, and then we want to check to see whether the mind is automatically reacting to that in any way, because the mind's nature is not to like the experience of pain or discomfort. So if we notice the resistance or the discomfort in the mind, Seattle says, then we want to watch that. Because the mind plays a big part in our perception of the experience of pain or discomfort. So that's why we need to watch what's happening in the mind first. And oh, when there is a reaction in the mind, Sero says, because the perception of the experience is colored, at that time we would not call the experience of pain in the body the right meditation object yet, simply because the mind has aversion or usually aversion, resistance to it. So whenever we practice, Sero says, it's a learning of how to adjust the mood of the mind that is being aware. So how we are being aware is most important. Particularly learning how to manage the mind when it is experiencing something that it has difficulty with. Learning to become settled in the mind, to become more balanced and less reactive to what it's experiencing. That's something we learn through meditation. Because Seattle says, what can happen is that we are experiencing something unpleasant, and then the way we observe is with a feeling of unpleasantness. We feel unpleasant about having to observe what's unpleasant. And we need to learn how to be neutral when we observe something unpleasant.
So initially
to adjust the mood of the mind, Seattle says, then we use this array of information that we've been given, and we try to find which fits with us mentally and helps us to settle the most and be most balanced about being aware. And with much practice and many trials and errors, we will become more and more skillful and be able and find that we can be equanimous when watching whatever.
Seattle says
whenever we are faced with something unpleasant that we have to observe, Seattle says, don't run away immediately. Allow ourselves to be challenged, to meet the challenge, and see how much we can observe. It's only if, but Seattle says, of course, don't do more than you can bear. If you find that you've tried your best and you can't handle it, Seattle says, change. Get yourself out of that uncomfortable situation. If it's something mental that you were working with, go take a walk or something. If it was the body, change your posture, make yourself more comfortable.
Daily activity,
and Wherever you walk, whenever you walk, just remember that you are meditating. So you're walking meditation. If you find it easy to be aware of your feet moving, your legs moving, you can do that. Just know that whenever you walk, what you'll notice is that whatever you pay attention to initially, if you keep doing that over an extended period of time, when the awareness settles into the body, you'll find that you kind of know your whole body as you walk. And Seattle says, although there is a schedule listed on the board, you don't have to be bound to the schedule. You can sit whenever you like. You can walk whenever you like. And you can sit wherever you like and walk wherever you like. What is really important to know is why you are sitting and why you are walking. How will you sit? How will you walk? How will you be aware? Whatever you do, you want to support the continuity of your mindfulness.
Daily activity,
And in every other activity during the day, Sierra says you really want to be aware of your movements. When you take things, when you put down things, when you move around your room, when you take showers, when you see people, you want to be aware of yourself, whatever you do. In particular, be very judicious with whether you speak or not. if there's a need, then speak. If there's not an urgent and immediate need, then maybe there is no need to speak. And that will be helpful for your mindfulness for now. He did say, if you do need to speak, to do it mindfully. So does anyone have any questions about what he said so far? Do you think that's enough instruction? Yes? Okay.
Can you remind us some of pleasant feeling instead of unpleasant? Like, it's very warm and quiet in here. Sometimes they might really want to sleep or go into the kitchen, the dining hall. Smell really good. So please remind us some of his wisdom and pleasant feeling.
When it's pleasant, we have to be aware as well. Sierra says, don't just get lost in enjoying what is pleasant. Be very aware of what is pleasant. So that's understood. We have to be aware no matter what.
My question is about the awareness. There's two minds, the thinking mind and the knowing mind. There's a third mind, the awareness of those two minds. So is Sayadaw want us to pay attention to that awareness mind, aware that I'm thinking and I'm knowing that? Usually we don't pay attention to that awareness. It's very faint, very light, but we can focus into it. We know it's there. Is that what he wants us to do?
So it's not what he wants you to do, Sierra says. If it happens naturally, that's what will happen.
Usually we tend to go to the object.
I know so in the diamond.
Just watch, Sarah says. Just watch and see what happens.
So watch that awareness. Watch the third mind.
Watch
the
everything.
Mind.
You don't need to do anything purposely at that time. There, you notice these three things are happening. Just know that. And Seattle says we must always know that the more we know, there's another one that knows that.
Already.
So if you know these three, then another one knows these three. And if you know that one, another one knows so. There's no need to
try.
All we need to do is maintain the awareness. Siyadu says always this. Yogi has three jobs: to have right view, to have right awareness, and to continue to be aware with right view. And the better our awareness becomes, the less we need to do anything to the practice. We just need to follow the show.
So basically, just watch those three things.
No, watch. Got the weight.
Don't think about it too much. Just let it be what it is. Yeah.
Oh.
When the mindfulness and the wisdom become strong enough, they will do what needs to be done. What you need to do is maintain what you have. Another thing Seattle says is that if we've had good, what we think are good experiences before, and we find that we don't have them anymore, you don't try to practice to get back to where you were. You practice where you are now. And just stay with that. Be aware of what is happening now. When the awareness grows and becomes stronger, Seattle says experiences will change. The way you see things will change. We need to know that our job is to allow the mind to strengthen, allow awareness to strengthen, and that's just by being aware.
So I feel that if I'm seeing something, then I realize I need to know and see, so then I feel tired.
Tired?
Yeah, if I see something and then I realize that I need to know and see, that time I feel kind of
stress.
It's not so much seeing that you're knowing. You are knowing what you are seeing. Like maybe what you see is the trees or
concept.
Something happening in front of you. So those are the concepts, the things that we see, right? And if that is so, then Seattle says the mind will develop attachment or aversion. Then the mind can feel tired.
But object in it, the seeing objectively to To
know that seeing is just seeing, that's very difficult for most of us. It takes another level of understanding to know that seeing is just seeing. Yeah, so to get to that sort of insight, Seattle says we need to practice. If when you see, you feel stress, then you will also feel stress when you hear, or when you touch, or when you taste.
Right.
But when we see that the object is just the object, just being just that which is being known, then that's not stressful for the mind.
Siyaro
says a yogi once asked him. Siyaro, he said, Siyaro, I know he was in a car and he was traveling, and he said, Siyaro, I noticed another car pass by. Is that mindfulness? And Seattle said, no. mindful, because everybody can know that a car passed by. Everybody knows that. Sarah says it's mindfulness when you know why you know that. So when you know there's hearing, that you heard something, that you saw something. So the seeing or the hearing or the sensation, when you know your own experience, that's mindfulness.
အဲ့ကြောင့်မြင်ရတဲ့ဟာတွေစိတ်ကရောက်သွားမှာပဲမြင်တာနဲ့စိတ်ကအဲ့မြင်ရမြင်ရတဲ့ဟာတွေရောက်သွားအဲ့တော့ဒီဘက်ပြန်ပြန်လာပြီးတော့ဒီအဲ့တော့မြင်တော့ဘလို့အဲ့တော့ပြောရမလဲဆိုရင်မျက်လုံးနဲ့ဖွင့်ထားလိုက်စိတ်ကိုမျက်လုံးမှာမထားနဲ့ထားတာနဲ့တော့မြင်ရတဲ့ဟာတွေရောက်သွားကြည့်ပြီကြည့်တဲ့လို့တူလို့ပြီအဲ့တော့မျက်လုံးဖွင့်ထားပြီးတော့ခါတိုင်းလိုပဲခန္ဓာမှာပဲထည့်ထ
others is we have our eyes open. If we bring our attention to seeing the others, what happens is that our attention immediately goes out to what we see or what we look at. And to bring the attention back to our eyes, Yadu says, is actually when we bring attention to our eyes, we immediately see what the eye is looking at. So instead of doing that, Yadu says, it's better to keep the attention on whatever else we are usually aware of. Maybe it's something in the body, maybe it's our breath or whatever. Do our usual mindfulness practice with the eyes open. And because you have information that you can be aware of seeing, Yadu says, at times it will just kick in, like the mind's attention will just sort of go to seeing, and you will be closer to understand the nature of seeing.
The gelu yinlu sut phin yin phin ma be da dabawa be da thong san be yin lu shin sut phit de
ya
da lu dai phin da dabawa be a lo asa na ma ri ya blu la sut ko yin ji chi pi ma yin ne pyan la a lo lo wa.
And it's very natural that when our attention is on objects outside of ourselves, that the mind will feel stressed. So, like, you notice you're looking, and then maybe you like or dislike, and some stress begins inside. So it says, when stress begins at any time, our object becomes stress. If you have any stress at all, what you observe is the stress. Now take a look at. Now you're looking. Do you recognize the act of looking? Yes?
That's gonna be the second time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you want to recognize that act of looking. So what you're trying to know is not the figure out there, not why. What you're trying to recognize is the movement of the mind to do that, to do looking.
Looking,
to look.
Pay attention.
Yeah, looking is a movement of the mind to pay attention through the eye door.
Looking and listening and pay attention, function to do
well. Looking and listening and paying attention are all the same activities, just done through different doors, sense doors. He says, now you're looking and you know you're looking. Is that difficult?
Kind of.
No, so somebody said no, somebody said
no.
And we're looking all day long, so go ahead and practice.
Oh, eh, John Jimmo, do you do the IT?
We really need to be skillful at recognizing looking, because we look before we do anything.
Look.
So that's our transition. Our transitions from movement to movement is looking.
Looking and activity.
It's one of the things that we do more. It's so obvious if you notice it that we're looking all the time. There's like gazillion lookings the whole day.
And
how many times we do we notice it? We don't walk without looking, we don't take without looking, we don't put down, we don't do anything without looking. We need to look to know what we're doing and how to do it. So do incorporate this into your practice, seeing and looking.
Yes, so what you're saying is like hearing. You hear but you don't listen.
No.
Okay,
Yes, so Seattle says yes. So you don't deliberately listen, but if some listening is happening, you know, but you don't deliberately follow the sound.
Yeah,
because once we pay attention to the sound, we start thinking about it.
Look just aware of what's going on, but you don't really watch. Yeah, you could say that. Your error. Right. So, right.
Seattle says, right, you don't go and watch it. It's just like our thoughts, you know. Seattle says we should recognize the thoughts, but he doesn't say watch the thoughts, because then we get lost in the content. So it's the same. When we watch what we're looking at, we get lost in what the thing, like we start looking at the birds rather than knowing that we're looking.
Seattle says,
in thinking and in seeing and looking, the mind's attention to concepts is very, very practiced. So the instant habit to go to the concepts is very strong. So when those concepts are very strong and we don't yet understand nature, Seattle says, then it's just a little shaky at that time. But you do want to give yourself the chance to know it, to recognize it, Seattle says, and with lots and lots of practice we'll start to see the nature of it. And then we're not so lost in the concept. For most of the yogis here, Seattle says, thinking is probably not such a difficult object to know if you've been practicing for some time. Seeing and looking is probably still harder.
Yes.
Okay. So when I do sitting meditation, and sometimes I got some water in mind, and take a while, maybe 5 minutes, and I realize that it's water in mind.
It's fine, Seattle says. In the beginning, we just start practicing now, so the mind's not going to catch it right away. We'll notice after the mind starts thinking. So the mind is thinking for a while, and then we realize thinking is happening. This is normal. Just start from where you are. You're aware now, and you continue. Awareness is not so fast now, he says. It will always be a little late. It doesn't matter whether we are lost in thought for 5, 10, or 15 minutes. When we become aware, just continue to be aware. No, never mind what happened already. Forget about it.
Anybody?
The way we can understand right view is to think of everything as nature. But when we use the word nature, Seattle says, what does that mean? So nature means that everything is governed by the law of cause and effect. Everything has its laws, and it has its causes and its effects.
Personally,
And when we see this cause-effect sort of relationship, we can see that it's conditions that give rise to effects. And we don't see a person there or a being there. We see the law of nature at work.
No me, no I will be okay.
Yeah, he says, don't think of it as not me or not I. He said, that's hard to swallow.
Yeah.
Instead of using those words, it's easier to think of it as being nature. Think of it positively rather than
negatively. If
you notice the idea of self in your mind, Seattle says, recognize that. Just know that. This is you're having right view because you see that the sense of self is present. Whatever is in the present moment, you see it as it is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what's your name?
In the back there?
Why is it harmful to listen and enjoy music?
Why is it harmful? Why look, pishi ga le de chin na tham na.
Kirida so la tu phit khwet pe yin. Tu a chi chi la. Ta khu da ma mo music ma ma ho. Ho ta cha ha ri ba twae pi a kaung la ma. Harmful ro ma go tu ho blu pyaw ma le. Tadi tamadi twae a naw shit phit de. Tu khan sa ni nyan pait ni lo tu harmful ro ka.
Da ba da khu ko ti la a ma chin bro pait ni a ma ma ho.
Haw de le.
Seattle says, theoretically, if we allow any unwholesome states of mind, like greed, right, to dwell in the mind, we're going to allow greed to become stronger and stronger in the mind. This is theoretically. But it doesn't mean that you you fight with it, you know? In the moment, what we're trying to do is recognize and understand what is happening right now as it is.
Yeah.
So, it depends also on how much attachment you have to listening to music, right? If you enjoy listening to music, then you imagine what it will feel like if you could not listen to music. Then you sort of see two sides of the coin. If it gets, if you find that it's something that disturbs the steadiness of your mind, prevents you from growing your wisdom, it's something that you have to come to realize. If you realize that, then. Ordinarily, Seattle says, we are quite immune to all these things, like listening to music. We don't really know whether it disturbs our mind or not. It's like everything else in life. But when we practice a lot, and we practice more intensively, and our mind is much more settled, we become more sensitive to what is not conducive to the steadiness of the mind and the growth of wisdom.
A
question by a yogi from 2007, and the yogi asked, why do Buddhists have so many rules? They said in the five precepts there are five undertakings to not do this and that, but apparently you can still it just says it says do not commit adultery, which means that you can still have a partner. But then when you go to the eight precepts, it's abrahmacharya, which means abstention, and so the person said, why are there all these different rules? It's so confusing.
ဘာကြောင့်လဲဆိုတော့ကိုယ့်ရဲ့ level ပေါ်မူတည်ကိုယ့်စိတ်ရဲ့ quality ဘလောက်ဖြစ်ချင်ပေါ်မူတည်တာအဲ့ပေါ်မှာမူတည်ပြီးတော့ rule ကသူကrule တွေကပြောင်းသွားတာ
So Sierra says these different sets of rules are made for whichever level of practice you want to take on. You know, if you're comfortable with just five precepts, you do that. If you feel like you want to do something more challenging and you want to take the eight precepts, you do that.
So base quality of mind, the second quality of mind, ya chin ne so yin to a lo piao na
da
bo. Chin ma chin ya me chin ne ya piao na.
Yeah, and the more we want to purify the mind, then we'll seek those practices that support that.
Mm-hmm. How does not eating at night or in the evening support that? I'm just curious, what is the theory behind it?
Yeah, what is the theory behind
it? Bhajan le so, asa atao ga loba a jong phit lo. Asa atao mien ne loba phit de. Ano tana shot sa lai loba tro tat da ba.
Yeah, Sierra says because food
is... Alung shou le tat da le. Now taik ma lu lo.
Food is the... one of the main objects of greed, like greed feeds on food. so we're just reducing some greed for the day. And Sierra says it also makes us less busy because there's one less activity that you know distracts us more than normal from our awareness. And two meals is sufficient to maintain good health. That the third meal is it's not harmful to health.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have to also think about it anymore, you know. Otherwise, we have to think about preparing and
all
that stuff.
Less busy, yeah. The khatana chebu lo lo mya le.
He says, like, if you think about preparing for meals, sometimes it can take a long
How
time.
How much?
Yeah.
Yeah. So talk about preceptions. The precept of Kamesu Vichachara. Some people interpreted Kamesu as not only abstinence from sexual misconduct, but sensual misconduct, indulging in the sense pleasures. So what's your take on it?
Kamesu Vichachara.
Five senses of Akumba. Lunlun Juju at. Like. Juju like sign. I tell you. Jowen. Wam Yina Ulu Natanga Ulu.လူလာတဲ့ပို့ပြီးတော့လုံလုံကျူးကျူးလိုက်စားရင်အဲ့တဲ့ဝင်တယ်။
Oh, who are in Macau?
ဒါကြောင့်ကာမဂုဏ်လို့ထည့်ထားတာ
။ Yeah. So,
ကာမေတုဆိုတော့ကာမေဂုဏ်ပါပြီးသား
။ Yeah, so Kamesu Vichachara is about excessive indulgence in the sense pleasures. So, or the five senses. So, if even you know what is so if you feel It's not a normal state of mind of just like listening to music or something. It's an excessive indulgence in a sense pleasure. So
it's correct that that's only sexual misconduct, but all sense.
Oh, yes, yes.
Excessive.
Right, that is more damn deep.
Yeah, so that's a more detailed definition, yeah.
Thank you. Dima, a precept, lojin, and loba. My yan, and lule, five precepts, and todu.
Sierra's not very strict about whether you follow the five precepts or eight precepts, so if anyone
finds... Five precepts or Yiji.
Oh, sorry. Not strict about whether you follow the eight precepts. The five precepts, we should... That's for lay people. Yeah. For us
ordinary people.
So we should strive not to break the five precepts, but Sierra says if we find the eight precepts challenging, he says we can adjust as needed for ourselves.
When I do the practice for this prasanna, so sometimes I'm using metta. For example, if I realize my wandering mind and I blame myself, so that time I'm using metta. I need to be nice for me. This kind of metta should be helpful.
သူကတော့ပြစ်တင်နေသူကမေတ္တာသုံးနေတယ်သူကတော့မေတ္တာပေးတယ်ပေါ့လေအဲ့ဒါသူအတွက်အထောက်အကူဖြစ်တယ်ပေါ့
ရတယ်လေတတ်တာအောင်လို့သုံးရင်တော့ရတယ်နောက်သူတတိထိုင်းလည်းရတယ်နှမျိုးရတယ်ဟိုအကြီးပဲသုံးရင်နောက်ဆိုအပြစ်ဟိုအကြီးသုံးရင်ခဏပဲရတယ်နောက်ခတ်ခတ်ခတ်အပြစ်တင်နေတယ် ဒီအဖြစ်တင်တာကြီးကမလို့တော့ပါဘူးလို့နားလည်သွားရင်တခါတော့ဘယ်တော့မှမတင်တော့
So Sierra says, so I think you, the example you gave was like if you're blaming yourself, right? You're being hard on yourself and you send metta to yourself to make it better. Sierra says we can do that. You know, it's a way to soften the mind and it's helpful. But Sierra says in the end, we don't free ourselves from it. The mind still has the habit of being hard on itself. Sierra says it makes more sense to do both. So you sense a metta, but you also learn to observe the mind that is hard on itself. Yes? And if you do that and you understand something about the nature of that mind and the way it works, maybe you understand that this is not necessary. It's unhelpful or it's harmful. If the mind understands it, Sierra says, then that mind will stop blaming you. You don't have to use metta again because you'll just have metta.
Right?
So if we're just using metta every time, Sierra says, then it's just like, you know, it's like a bomb, but it's not, you're not free of it forever.
Understanding a free people.
If you have true understanding, then you will be free for it, of it.
And the three times that you check,
Sierra says whenever we watch something, we always remember that we're watching to understand. What will we understand? We could understand the cause and effect, a relationship. We could understand whether it's good or bad, beneficial or not, suitable or not. All these things can be understood. Sierra says when we watch thinking mind, you know, instead of trying to make the thoughts go away, if we watch thinking mind and maybe some understanding arises, like we begin to realize that these thoughts are useless, or these thoughts are unhelpful or unnecessary, or when an understanding arises, that clears the mind.
I understand, Lujan.
And we want that understanding to arise. You know, do what is suitable in the moment for that. Yeah. If you understand it's important, then yeah, you need to do what is suitable in that moment. But it has to be true understanding, not just an assumption.
Yeah, I think the question about the effort, right? Effort. I seem to be obsessive with a lot of things that I'm doing. And I've been practicing this method for about 5 months, and the mind seemed to be like it very, very much. And I found that when I go to bed, I meditate. And sometimes when I woke up at night, I found myself still doing it. So it's wonder, am I so obsessive or my mind is so crazy? That is momentum.
Momentum calling. Momentum is
becoming natural. It comes up naturally when you wake up. He says we're all working so hard so that it will become like that. Sierra says if we can, you know, have lots and lots of momentum, then you know you'll find that a lot of the time the practice is happening by itself. When the practice is doing itself, Sierra says you will see very clearly that there's nobody there, that everything is cause and effect. You want to practice. Nature is practicing. When the understanding of anatta is very strong, the insights in vipassana are also very strong.
ลูกก็เห็นนะยังว่าดีอัธรณ์เนี่ยงาลุเห็นนะตัวละอะกูก็อัธรณ์เนี่ยตัวเสกก็ตู้เลิกตู้เลิกแล้วมีเนาะมาดีอ่ะงาไม่เข้ากูสุดแล้วป้อล่ะ
Yeah so she also says you know when you first began practicing it's like you are practicing right and then you wake up in the middle of the night and the mind is doing it by itself at that time you don't feel like you are practicing right but you see that the mind is doing it
well during the other day I just let the mind do doing it all works I just watch it
just watch it tua nei gen chai the dia tua tu lou le tua tu chi ba chi le
a lu chi ba lou khle wo ma lou le
yeah right so it says so you're being the adult don't do the work of the child
but that's going to a concern that am I crazy
so you need la lu
tua just seem to be there and not the mind that's doing it
the child say ka light load
mo na na le da ma pi so nei lu tua a yin ko view a yin view de a ku view a biao mian phin nei lu ko a yu lu thain nei la a man da a kaung ho a yu
It feels like that because it's different from how you've lived your whole life.
Yes.
It's a different
view.
Right? So if you think about crazy and sane, Seattle says it's more like the opposite. Now it's opposite to what you're used to, so it feels like it's crazy. But actually, you were crazy before. Now the mind is becoming more sane.
So funny. ก้าวหน้าแล้วตัวอายุแล้วทีน
ี้
โหอยู่แล้วก้าวแล้วทีนี้
Yeah so because of the conditioning of our mind the way we've lived our whole life you see we think that what we were before because that's normal for us we think that that's okay
yeah.
and when it becomes different we think maybe it's not okay but actually this is
ทีนี้อ่ะอติဖြစ်နေလို့ပ
ါ because this is a new place
new Yes.
So actually, is the mind there at the
door
to knowing everything happened, right?
Huh?
What? Sorry.
the mind.
Yeah.
Is watching, observing everything. That's from the six hand door.
Whatever
so
it can.
Mind knowing that.
Mind is knowing that.
Because the mind knowing.
Yeah.
So if go through this mind, we know.
I see, like the whole.
Yes. When you.
It's different from the concept mind or.
စိတ်ကတစ်စိတ်အကုန်လုံးတည်တာတဲ
့ဟုတ်တယ
်အဲ့ဒါဟိုပညာတစ်စိတ်နဲ့တည်တဲ့စိတ်နဲ့ခွာလာတဲ့မတူဘူးလား
function တွေကတော့အများကြီးပေါ့စိတ်လို့ပြောပေမဲ့ function တွေကအများကြီးရှိတယ
် There are many functions in the mind but they're all mind yeah
So see you tomorrow interview time huh?